Morning. Get this out of the road. You can turn in your Bibles to Psalm 68, verse 19. Psalm 68, verse 19. I'd like to talk today about benefits. Benefits. That's a big word, benefits. When we get our jobs, we want to know what the benefits are, especially when you're older. You might, I think of the Mr. Reinhardt helps some of the college students get their jobs. They're not looking for a company car so much. The benefits, what kind of benefit package am I going to get? they're kind of just looking for some cash to put on their school bill. But any benefit is good. I think of a babysitter, you know, looking for fringe benefits, and a babysitter, she might be looking for fridge benefits, you know, something on the side, it's a little bit extra as I watch these kids, something good in the fridge. Hey, you can look in here and help yourself. Oh, you know, those words would be kind of fun. My family, we Priceline'd a hotel, and of course, you're in this fancy hotel pretending like you belong there. You know, walking with the people that didn't Priceline, the ones that actually just paid. So I got thirsty later on in the day, and I got some ice from the machine down the hall, and I said, Kate, that's my six-year-old, go get Daddy some water. I meant from the sink. Well, she didn't know. I didn't mean from the little mini bar there. So, you know, she pours me a glass of $8 bottled water. That wasn't a benefit that came with the room. That was extra. That cost me more. But you know, in this Christian life, God daily loads us with benefits. And so I'd just like to talk about benefits today. Let me look at this first verse with you, Psalm 68:19. Psalm 68:19. It says, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. There's really the first benefit there. We see salvation is one of the greatest benefits of all. But along with salvation, what a package. There's so many things that come with salvation. But with this, I see, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. So I see right now a look at our daily benefits. So I think it's easy for us to focus on what we don't have. That's part of the human condition. Even before Eve fell, that was what she was guilty of. The devil got her focused on the one tree she couldn't have when there was a whole paradise full of trees that she could have. And somehow the devil, in his tricky way, got her focused on what she couldn't have. And when we look back and say, how crazy is that? You doubted God's goodness when you had trees upon trees upon trees upon trees full of God's goodness, and you doubted it because you got focused on what you don't have. So here it says, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. So first of all, I'd like to point out we should focus on His present goodness. Focus on His present goodness. He's doing good things for us right now. We need to learn daily to focus on He's doing something today. Do you believe that He daily loads you with benefits? That His mercies are new every morning? Great is His faithfulness. So it would help us to every single day focus on the trees that we do have, knowing the devil's going to get us to focus on what we don't have, what we can't have. Especially those in reformers, they're thinking, oh, my life is a life of I can't have that, I can't have that, I can't have that. And they need to learn the replacement principle in Colossians and Ephesians to focus on what I can have this, I can have this, I can have this. Oh, the Lord is good. He daily loads me with benefits. If their life is I can't have this, I can't have this, that gets too discouraging and they will fail. But every single one of us needs to learn that principle. God daily loads us with benefits. My uh, My dad got a company car. He worked for GE, and so he came home in a Ford Explorer one day, a brand new one. We thought that was pretty neat. Of course, with jobs, we think of what kind of insurance do they offer. Yesterday, I was talking to one of the mothers on my bus route, and she said, yeah, my kids are playing this new game where they're sick on Sunday morning. They stay up all night on Saturday, then they're sick on Sunday morning. And she said, I too can play that game. We decided that every time they say they're sick and they're going to miss school or church, I'm rushing them to the doctor. And I thought, oh, wow, won't that get expensive? And I thought, that's the benefit of not having benefits in America. You know, you don't have benefits, you'd rush them to the hospital and somebody could, you know. But benefits, you know, what kind of benefits are we going to have? I found this outline in one of my old Bibles. I don't even know where it came from, but I had written it down years ago. But just a kind of a side outline. With salvation, we get redemption by grace. Redemption by grace. I think of Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are we saved through faith. For us, we know it says it's a gift from God. Salvation is a gift from God. For us, it doesn't cost anything, but for him, it cost everything. The worth of something is based on how much it cost, isn't it? And when you think of how much our salvation cost, that makes it so precious, and God just gave it to us as a gift. A second thing is remedy for guilt. With salvation, we have the remedy for guilt. When Adam and Eve sinned, they were hiding in the bushes, and they knew they needed covered. And so they sewed fig leaves together, and they were hiding in the bushes. And Jesus says, come out. We don't want to come out. We're hiding. Why are you hiding? Why this sudden urge to cover yourselves? There's this terrible feeling of shame and guilt. It's got to be covered. There's something, this shame and this guilt is terrible. We feel better back in the bushes. We don't want to come out into the light. We don't want to come into your presence. And we've covered ourselves. And Christ says, no, there's a way to do that. I can cover you the right way. And they killed an animal and covered them with the skins of an animal and representing the way that God would cover the shame. That terrible, gnawing thing called shame and guilt. Well, God can cover it. And we can forget those things which are behind and press on toward the mark. A remedy for guilt. A resource for guidance. When we got saved, we got a resource for guidance. We love that verse, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. And you say, well, he'll direct my path if he's not too busy. Because there's a lot of us on this earth. Well, he's God and he's big enough to direct every one of my steps. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. A resource for guidance we got. That's part of the salvation package. I hesitate calling it that because it's not just what a benefits package we have in salvation. A refuge for grief. In Job had lost his children and his wealth, and we know he lost his health. At first, the Bible says that he rent his clothes and fell down and worshiped God and did not charge God foolishly. And we know certainly that he found a refuge in God. And it took a while. In the last chapter, he said, I had heard of thee with the hearing of mine ears, but now mine eyes seeth thee. And the Bible says that God restored unto him so much, and he had a closer walk with him. I thought about Job, and it was kind of fun that the devil was walking to and fro. And you go, well, what was he doing? Well, we know from Peter what he was doing. He was seeking whom he may devour. And so as he was going around considering people, we know Satan's an accuser of the brethren, looking for people that he could ruin and point out their life and laugh in the face of God. God beat him to the punch with Job and said, hey, have you considered Job? Yeah, I try not to. I try to look for people that I can point at and laugh and make you feel bad. Yeah, I try not to. Yeah, have you considered Job? I try not to. As the devil walks around seeking whom he may devour, we have a Savior who walks around seeking whom he may deliver. I like this verse in 2 Chronicles 16:9. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Sounds like what the devil was doing, walking to and fro. And God is the eyes of the Lord. This is 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. While Satan seeks some to devour, the Savior is seeking some to deliver. That's a benefit. That's a benefit. I read this morning in Psalm chapter 4. It says, "But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call." That's a benefit. He daily loads us with benefits. Blessed be the Lord. So we're focused on him. We're being still and we're knowing that he is God. Blessed be the Lord. We're worshiping him and we're thinking about his goodness. Today, we're focused on his. Today, he's going to load me with benefits. I'm going to keep my eyes open. I'm going to keep my ears open. I'm going to look for God's benefits. Focus on what we have, not what we don't have. It's a tremendous blessing that we are Americans. Mr. Schrock, Yura Schrock is over visiting his brother in Cambodia. And it's very eye-opening to travel around the world and see how much of the Mullers are here. Mrs. Muller was grateful when they got a front-load laundry machine, because the top-load laundry machine took like upwards of 50 gallons or something of water that they had to bring from the pump. It didn't just flow into their washing machine like we Americans enjoy. We enjoy so much being in America. What about our health? We have a lot to be grateful for our health today, this church, and obviously salvation. At the end of this verse, it says Selah. That idea there is stop and think, really think about what we have in Christ. Spend time continually on your knees and think about God's daily provision of benefits. Be still and know that he is God. All right, so we focus on his present goodness. Today, train yourself to focus on his present goodness. This word benefits shows up another time in Psalm 103. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 2. So focus on his present goodness. And then this next, I want to bring out a different aspect of these benefits. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 2. Says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Forget not all his benefits. So I think as we think about his daily benefits, he daily loads us with benefits. It's a good exercise for 2015 to focus on his present goodness, but here we're reminded not to forget all his past goodness. Don't forget all his past goodness. That's a wonderful thing to hear about the Baptist history and be grateful for the heritage that we have. It's good to study Baptist history. It's good to say, why do I have all the benefits that I have right now? Because men gave their lives. The Wycliffes that gave their life. This man's that gave his life for the truth. There were so many that gave so much. These testimonies on Sunday morning, I remember talking to Adam Case. When he gave his testimony, he talked about losing his job and during that time where he was looking for a job, his car repairs got taken care of, his phone bill got taken care of, his NIPSCO bill got taken care of, all by strange things where God was just taking care of him. And then he got this job at the mill. He had applied for it a couple other times and he just had it all laid out. So later on, he said, "Brother, that was a blessing. Write it down. Put it somewhere safe, and don't tuck it away. Put it somewhere where you'll go back to it regularly. And forget not all his benefits." So when God daily loads you, have a way to record those things. Because it's easy to forget God's goodness. Again, I go back to Eve. How quickly did she forget that behind her was paradise? In front of her was the one tree she couldn't have. How easy to forget what God had just given you. So forget not all his benefits. And it says to thank him from your soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. We bless the Lord. Not just, we don't just say it, right? My kids are younger, and being, you know, grandma gives them gifts. The other grandma and grandpa gives them gifts. The uncle gives them gifts. The other uncle gives them gifts. I have an uncle from West Virginia that sent 25 pounds of gifts. And it becomes, you know, at first they're like, oh, this is great. And then after a while, their hands are covered in paper cuts from opening gifts. And it's just an exercise of, oh, this is great. They, oh, this is great. And you see, it's mouth. They're being grateful from their mouth. It's not from their heart. It's a matter of just polite. And it's an exercise in politeness. They're not really grateful. They just have learned to pretend on the outside. I've needed one of these ever since I got my first one 3 years ago. And this will be good in case the two that I have lined up still in the package wear out. So thank you. Kids in America have so much, and it's and we Americans we're guilty of the same thing. Where God loads us with benefits daily, and we're like, oh, thank you very much. We're careful to say thank you from our mouth, but it's an exercise to bless the Lord, oh my soul, from deep within, to really know that heartfelt. By the way, it's a spiritual thing. It says back in Ephesians 5 that when you're filled with the Spirit, when you're filled with the Spirit, there are several things that happen when you're spiritual. Ephesians 5, it says in verse 18, be filled with the Spirit. Then it says in verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And then verse 20, giving thanks always. So when you're filled with the Spirit, that's when you're able to give thanks always. It's a spiritual thing. But as you consider His goodness, it becomes a lot easier to just be grateful. And again, it's an exercise, it's a daily spiritual exercise to focus on what He's the benefits He's loading us with today, and then not forgetting the benefits He loaded us with yesterday. Record things. Record God's goodness. Write it down. All right, and then one last passage there in Psalm 116. Psalm 116, we have a question. Verse 12. Psalm 116, verse 12. We have a question. Psalm 116, verse 12, it says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? And that's a good question. What can I do to repay Him? Not because I want to earn my way to heaven. It's just when you're full of gratefulness, that has to turn into action. That just has to turn into action. When you realize what He did for you and how much He gave for you, the love that you should feel back toward Him has to turn into action. I serve Him because I love Him. I serve Him because I love Him. I don't know why the world has such a hard time. What? You don't have to work your way to heaven? That doesn't make any sense. Why doesn't it make sense? My children don't. I want them to get to the. They're my children. They don't obey me because they want to remain my children. They obey me because they get in trouble when they don't. But they learn to love me and please me. And part of godly discipline teaches them to, I like making Dad happy. I like it. It used to be that He made me unhappy if I didn't make Him happy. But now, I'm actually learning to enjoy Him being happy. Good things happen when Dad's happy. And I like Dad being happy because I get to enjoy the benefits of Dad being happy. And I just like Dad being happy. You know, Grandma Snyder took Kate out yesterday and bought an apple pie from McDonald's and said, here's one for your dad when he comes home tonight. Well, the kids wrapped it up in paper towel and they were waiting by the door for me to come back. And they're like, Dad! And they rushed up and they handed me a paper towel. And they're like, it's a surprise. And so I opened it up and there was an apple pie from McDonald's. And I, you know, that's great. But the best part was my kids couldn't wait to see me happy. Because they're like, Dad, open this up. That's so much fun. And when I'm happy, they're going to be happy. They've learned to please me. Because I don't know why the world has, no, you have to work your way to heaven. Why is that so hard to understand that God did everything? And in God's pattern, he loads us with benefits. And if you truly focus on his benefits, you're going to be filled with gratefulness. And you're going to want to serve him out of love. If we are careful to exercise these principles, to focus on his daily benefits, to not forget his past benefits. And then we can't help but arrive at this question, what can I render unto the Lord for all his benefits? This response only makes sense. We've heard it before that you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. And so I'll just read these verses real fast. What does he say? There's a bunch of verbs here. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And again, when God looks at saints and a saved person dies and goes to heaven, that entrance into heaven cost the death of his son. So that the death of a saint cost him his son. It's precious. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thy handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. And again you say, well, if he freed you, why are you his servant? Out of love. Out of love, thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I can't help it. I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord! So, the first thing is to focus on his present goodness. The second thing, forget not his past goodness. And then the last thing is faithfully follow his goodness. Faithfully follow his goodness. He set the pattern. So faithfully follow the pattern he set for us. I enjoyed that film we watched the other night, In His Steps. He set the pattern. And we need to follow that pattern. I read about a captain. He had a boat, and he had 13 men on his crew. And it was years ago. He would sail from South America to Australia, and then up to China and to South America. And he would pick up load and go and deliver load. He just made that circuit. Well, one time he got to South America, and about half his crew deserted him. And so he wanted to rebuild his crew, and so he's asking around. Well, this distinguished man came up and said, may I have passage on your ship to Tahiti? And it turns out that guy was Governor Wilson. And Governor Wilson had to bring a large sum of money to the government there in Tahiti. And Captain Ryder had no idea, but he said, sure, that's on the way, we'll do that. Well, nobody knew about the money except a little girl in the governor's office had overheard them talking about it. And she told some of her friends, and it got to the wrong people, that there was a lot of money on that boat. So this man who was up to no good, he was a ship's carpenter, and he got six people together and said to Captain Ryder, he said, I hear you need a ship's carpenter and some crew. And he said, I do. And he said, we'll go with you. If you'll have us, sure. Well, they intended to murder them, and take the money. Well, the Captain Ryder had no idea about the money at all. He didn't know what was going on, and Captain Wilson thought that nobody had any idea, and so they set off. And they got into a storm, and the ship's carpenter had gone below and bored holes in the side of the boat, and so the ship began to take on water. And then they went into this terrible storm. And as they're going into this terrible storm, they looked back, and there was a native that was going to drown. His ship was going to overturn. He was struggling and trying to hail them and waving. And the captain said, "Turn the boat around. We have to save that guy." And even the part of the crew that was loyal to him said, "We can't. He's not worth it. We can't. We'll endanger ourselves." And they said, "We're not doing it." Well, the captain went back and dropped anchor and slowed the boat down. And the native was able to catch up to them. And they were talking to him, and it didn't seem like he spoke any English. But the men had been pumping. He said, "Man the pumps." He didn't know that the carpenter had bored holes in the side of the ship. In fact, he said to the ship's carpenter, "Go down below and see if you can find the leak." He went down and said, "I can't find it." And he, while he was down there, probably bored another hole. Well, the native came on, and he saw the men pumping to get the water out, and he just joined them. And of course, there was the storm that they barely survived. Well, afterwards, they said, we're going to lose the ship. We need to stock the longboats." And Captain Wilson, or Governor Wilson, came up and said, "I got to tell you this. I got this big box of money that nobody knows about, and we're going to be getting into the longboats, and I'm going to be acting a little suspicious, but I just want you to know that I have this money, and I got to get it to Tahiti." Well, while they were talking, this native came crawling in, and they're like, "Hey, you know, what are you doing?" So he's like, "Shh." Well, he was manning the pumps with these guys while they were making their plans, not realizing that he was hearing everything they were saying. He heard their whole plan to get into the longboats, murder the people that weren't a part of their plan, return to the ship, repair the boat, take the boat and sell it, and then live off the cash. And so all of this was supposed to happen the next morning. So the native told them all of their plans. They thought that he didn't understand. So the captain and the part of the crew that was loyal to him armed themselves and captured those men and threw them in the brig, went down and easily repaired the boat. And as the captain was returning home, they were out at sea for a long, long time. And as the captain had a godly home, and as he was returning home, the family was weeping, because they had heard that he was lost at sea. And they were having some devotions. They were having some time with God. And the young man, one of his sons, was reading in Matthew chapter 5. It said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." And as he was about to open the door to his house, he just thought about that verse. And he thought, "Boy, I showed mercy to that native, and I obtained mercy, because if I wouldn't have saved his life, I would be dead right now without anything." And then he smiled and he realized that I am like that native, and God looked down and saw a shipwrecked world and came down and he showed mercy. And I'm glad that I followed the pattern of my Lord in just showing mercy. I faithfully followed his goodness. Of course, he opened the door and his family, you know, probably his kids tackled him, "Dad," all excited to see him. So we need to faithfully follow his goodness. Study the Lord Jesus and study his example and follow him. So today, let's think of those things with his benefits. Let's focus on his present goodness. He's daily loading us with benefits. Don't let the devil get you focused on what you don't have. The next thing, don't forget his past benefits. Write them down. It's easy to forget what God has done for you. Write those things down. Make note of them. Forget not all his benefits. Study history. Write some things down. When Mr. Brady gets up here and talks about history, write those things down. Get yourself that Baptist history, that 365. Get some history. Read about God's benefits in the past. Why do you have the country you have today? Forget not, I think, also includes study some of the benefits that he's already given to you that you enjoy that you don't even realize. And then when you're in love with him, faithfully follow the pattern of his goodness he set for you. Let's pray. I pray, Lord, that you bless this day. Lord, help us to listen, Lord, to your